Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Good morning. My name is Jose Antonio Montenegro, but as family, you can call me Tony. I have the privilege of being a Pathfinder leader here at church and also a board member. Our country, across our nation, there's been very challenging and difficult moments. And at times, the only thing we can do is one of the most powerful things we can do, and it's to pray. So I invite you to pray with me to our God. God of life, even as we sing of your greatness, we come to you tired in our bones and in our spirits, tired from carrying grief that piles up without our consent. We bring you the tragedies of violence, lives taken too soon, names we didn't know, but now can't forget, families left holding the unbearable weight of absence. We remember them before you, the God who created and knew them best. We trust that you hold them, even when the world did not. God, we ache for those who live in fear. Fear of violence, fear of displacement, fear that safety is easily broken and dignity negotiable. For children learning terror, for communities who know what it is to be targeted, ignored, or erased, draw near to them. We confess the dissonance we feel between the values we claim and the values we live, between what should be and what is. How long, O Lord, will cruelty seem louder than compassion? How long will love feel like a risk instead of a refuge? And still, we dare to believe that love has not disappeared, even when it feels small or fragile. Help us trust that light is still doing its quiet work. God, be close to those of us who feel helpless, watching suffering unfold and wondering, what can I do? Show us the next faithful step, a way to love that becomes real in the world. And God, for hearts that are not yet attuned, for those of us who are indifferent to the cries, who rationalize the pain, who step around the blood crying out from the ground, soften us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, not so we are crushed by guilt, but so we are moved by love. Hold us, God. Hold our grief. Hold our anger. Let us feel seen and understood by the one who made us. You who spoke beauty out of chaos in the beginning, we need you now. Speak again. Bring order to a world out of control. God, we pray for those in leadership, even when we don't want to, even when it feels hard or costly. We pray for wisdom, for humility, for accountability. We pray for those we disagree with, those we struggle to understand, those we might even call enemies, including the ones we love. Align us with your heart, O God. Teach us to see what you see, to love what you love. Hear us, O God, we pray. Amen.
All right, family, I have a little test for you this morning. You ready? All right, here we go. What am I holding? I know you guys, I'm not nice to you guys, right? You're like, I don't know, can I? You'd always change it up on me. What am I holding? An apple, right? Are you sure? Looks like an apple. It appears to be an apple. That's a safe answer. I appreciate that. So holding an apple in my hand, apples are an important part of my life. I grew up in a place called Hendersonville, North Carolina. And what some people may not know, if you're not from that area, is that apples are a major product that comes out of that area. So much so that every year, Hendersonville, North Carolina, for as long as I can remember, and I didn't research to see how far it goes back, but I'm sure it goes a ways back. Every year they have the Hendersonville, North Carolina Festival and Apple Festival and Parade. This is a big deal. I look forward to it every year because you got to go to the parade and there was like all kinds of, you ever watch, well, never mind, you haven't, but you know, there's this movie called Forrest Gump and the guy in it talks about shrimp and he talks about shrimp this, shrimp that, you know, all that. I can talk to y'all, apple crisp, apple vinegar, apple sauce. I'll go on, apple wax. You can talk all day about apples because every apple product you can possibly think at is at the Apple Festival in Hendersonville, North Carolina. If you get a chance to ever go to it, I highly recommend it. And the highlight, the big thing of it is a parade. At the end of the, during the parade, you know, you have all the high school marching bands that come out, you have all the floats, and then what they would do near the end of the parade is they'd have these huge trucks just piled full, semis piled full of apples. And somebody back before there was all the litigation there is today, when I was a kid, they don't do it anymore because you're going to get in trouble. They would start throwing apples out into the crowd, right? Can't do that anymore. But you know, back in those days, you know, it was a free apple. And if you got a little, you know, headache with it, it wasn't a problem. You know, it's just free apple. There you go. Candy apples. Did I mention candy? Those are important. I just want to say, okay, caramel apples. Okay. So apples, big deal, right? So I asked you what I was holding in my hand. Now let me ask you a question. How many apples am I holding in my hand? Are you sure? All right, we'll come back to that. Let's come back to that. I'm hearing one. We'll come back to that. You know, for the last, this is our fifth week that we've been talking about greater things, the theme for this year. And this is our final sermon in this series. And then we're going to be moving on to other series that are going to have to do with greater things, but this is the final sermon in this particular series. And we've been explaining to you what greater things is all about. We have talked to you the first week about how the idea of greater things is not so much that when Jesus said it, that those who came after him would do greater things than him, it's not referring to the quality, but the quantity. It was talking about the expansion of God's kingdom. And so this year at Whole Life, we're celebrating 100 years of existence, that we have been here for 100 years. And I think this church has done great things over the last 100 years. I think it has made an impact in our community. I think it has brought people to Jesus. I think it has transformed lives. I think it has done great things. And I believe that we have even greater things ahead of us. And so what I have been talking to you about over these last 5 weeks now is where we're headed. I've been talking to you about our mission, our vision, our values, and today we're going to be talking specifically about the vision. But before I do that, I want to go back and review those last 4 weeks. And I want to go ahead and create for you a frame. We started off with our mission. We're a church without walls, loving people and the whole life with God. Do any of you remember that I talked, I used bowling as a metaphor for values? You remember that? So in the bowling metaphor, our mission, if we're going to say the mission, you know, metaphorically speaking, in bowling, your mission might be to, it could be to be the greatest bowler of all time, to be the GOAT of bowling. That could be your mission. That's a big mission. It's one that's going to take a lifetime to accomplish. So that might be a very good mission. So when you have a mission, the whole point of it is it's something that's probably going to take you a long time to do. It's not something that you're necessarily ever going to achieve or completely achieve. It's something you're always improving on, moving toward. So as our church, we're a church without walls, loving people into whole life with God. Do we have that down perfectly? No, we don't. Is that something that we're wanting to become and grow and expand and move toward? Yes, it is. That is our true North Star. This is the direction that as a church we want to head in. And so that's why it's at the top of our mission frame as we start thinking about the framework of what we're going to do. This is what's at the top. Then after that, we have our values. I talked to you about how values are like the lane. Thank you. My brain froze on me there. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's the lane. And you have to decide to keep that ball inside the lane. If you are going to be successful, you have to stay within your values. And values don't enforce themselves. You have to enforce the values. A good bowler has to learn to keep the ball out of the gutter. Sometimes when you're starting off bowling, you're going to go ahead and put bumpers up to ensure that you don't go in the gutter. And so when I talked about values, I want to remind you that one of the things that we said is that every single one of us, as a part of the Whole Life family, is responsible for enforcing these values. It's not just the pastoral team or the staff or the board. It's every single one of us has responsibility to live these values and to expect others to do the same and say, hey, Ken, I'm not sure if we're being as inclusive or as inspired. This I'm concerned about. It's okay to say those things in this church because we want to. We want to live these values. And we may have differences of opinion on how we're living them, but we have to have the discussions because otherwise we will wind up in the gutter. And that's not where we want to be. We want to be sending that ball down the lane toward the pins. And I suggested to you that I think the growth pathway that we have at our church is the bowling ball. Our growth pathway is the things that we're doing. We're sending that, the things we're doing down our values because we're hoping to get a certain outcome. The ball is going, we're hoping to get a certain outcome when we send that ball down the lane. And our church, our growth pathway, we believe that we grow through connection, through worship, through service, and thank you, invitation. These are so new, I'm still getting them memorized, okay? So if you don't have them down, that's okay. We're going to get them down together. But our growth pathway is connection, worship, invitation, service. These are the things that we do because we want to grow and because we want to head towards the mission that we have. And if you didn't see that sermon, it's online. Go watch it. So how do we know whether we are actually doing the living the values? How do we know if we are actually doing the growth pathway? How do we know if we're doing connection? How do we know if we're doing worship, invitation, and service? Well, that's where the bowling pins come in, right? If you're sending a bowling ball down the lane, what you don't do is send it when there's no pins. No pins, you don't know whether you really were successful or not. Did you get a strike? If there are no pins there, you don't know. The pins are going to tell you whether you were successful in the way you bowled. And that's what we're going to call our growth marks. When you send the ball down, how many pins did you knock down? Did you knock them all down? Awesome, strike. Did you knock down a few of them? Okay, opportunity for a spare. Or at least to pick up a few more. And so at Whole Life, we want you to be thinking not just about what the growth pathway is, but we want you to be measuring. Am I growing? And those growth marks are the ways that we can decide whether or not we are accomplishing what we want to do. Those growth marks are questions like, am I deepening my relationship with God? Am I embracing and uplifting others in their journey? Am I participating in community? Am I giving resources generously? Am I living holistically? And one of the worst things you can do if you're in any sport, doesn't not just bowling, but any sport, but in bowling, for me, one of the worst things I can do is think, oh, I'm going to fail. Have you ever hit you've been bowling, you knock down a couple of the pins and you're like, oh, I don't know that I'm going to be able to pick this up. You don't want to do that. In sports, you want to think, I can do this. And what we want you here is if we're not hitting the growth marks perfectly, we don't want you to say, oh, well, it's never going to happen. What we want you to say is, no, I'm going to keep trying. One of the ways that you grow in any sport is by practicing. Send the ball down again. You didn't do it the way you wanted? Try again. Keep working on that hand position. Keep working. You don't quit when you don't get a strike. You think, okay, I'm going to try again. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try again. And the beautiful thing about outside of this sports metaphor is that God's there with us. In this reality, God is there to do it with us. You could even say God's going to do it for us. And so we give God permission when we fail to say, hey, God, I failed. I admit it. Keep helping me. And so we don't use these growth marks as a tool to beat each other up and, oh, you're not doing this, you're not doing this. We use them as a tool to say, how am I doing and what do I need to do next? And how can I encourage the people around me? Have you ever seen the experiments where they'll have somebody shoot a basketball and they'll say words of encouragement while they're doing it? Yeah, this is actually a social experiment. You can look it up probably on whatever your favorite streaming platform is, but you can look this up, and it's a social experiment where the person will be shooting free throws, and everybody's clapping for them. You can do this. You've got this. You've got this. And they'll do really well. And then they'll do the exact opposite. You're awful. You're not going to make it. You're horrible. And even the best shooters, when they do that, their percentage goes down. Every time. It's why we call it home court advantage when a team is somewhere. It's because they're psychologically, even though you're capable of doing something, when you're told you're bad, you're not good, it gets in our head. So at Whole Life, we want to be a church that doesn't psychologically psych people out spiritually. We're not going to be there like, you're horrible, you're a terrible person, you can't be good enough. No, we want to be a church that says, hey, you might not have done what you wanted to, but God's got you. You've got this. God is with you. And that's the kind of encouraging church that we want to be in this. So when you look at our mission, when you look at our values, when you look at our growth pathway, and when you look at our growth marks, you're going to see a frame has been created. I think you're going to see that. Can I get some help? I don't know what's happened, but there we go. We see a frame that has been created. And what we're trying to look at with all these things is, if that's our mission, that's our values, that's our growth pathway and our growth marks, then what's our vision? Our vision is the next step towards mission. Mission is, like I said, it's something that's always going to be ongoing. I want to be the greatest bowler of all time. We're always going to be working towards that mission. But my vision is the next step towards becoming the greatest bowler of all time. That's my vision. So when you look at this mission, when you look at these values, when you look at this growth pathway and these growth marks, the question that a group of us pondered last year for literally hundreds of hours was, if these things are true, if this is our mission, these are our values, this is our growth marks, this is our pathway, then what's our vision? And this is what that group of people came up with. Well, it's actually a version of it, because it went from that group of people to a larger group, to our church board, and then on to you. And all along the process, it was refined and changed and grown. All along that process, that happened. And so that is where we came up with what our vision should be. We said by 2036, Whole Life will amplify our culture of spiritual growth, wholeness, and inclusion through a vibrant network of 100 churches and microsites. Why that? Well, because our mission is to be a church without walls. That means we've got to grow beyond where we're at right now. It also means that we think that the values that we have, the growth pathway that we have, and the growth marks are things that are worth taking beyond here. We think that the world would be a better place with more Whole Life churches. It's what we believe. So how do we, I've been asked this question a number of times, why the number 100? Because it's impossible. Oh, so you're not really serious about it. Oh, I'm serious about it. Maybe you were here, maybe you weren't, but a number of months ago, I preached a sermon on vision. And one of the things I said to you about vision is that if it doesn't feel impossible, then you weren't trying. You weren't thinking big enough. If it's not something that God's going to have to do a miracle to make happen, you have not been thinking hard enough about it. So feel free to come up to me after the service and say, how on earth are you going to make that happen? I will tell you exactly what I'm about to tell you right now. I have no idea. I don't know. But you know what I do know? I know God knows. I know this was not my vision. I know this was the vision of a small group of people that moved on to a larger group of people, that moved on to a church board, that moved on to you. This isn't one person's vision. This is our vision. It's a ridiculous vision. Can I just tell you that the Florida Conference has 300 churches in it? That's the conference we're in. We have 300-ish churches in this conference. And Whole Life is saying in the next 10 years, we're going to create a network of 100 churches and microsites to amplify what we already have. That's ridiculous. But I know the world will be a better place if God does that. I know it beyond a shadow of doubt. You know what I also know? I'm not doing it. I've got all of you. You're smart people. You're smart people. God has put wisdom in you, and we are going to do that. What does it exactly look like? I don't know. John Kennedy, back in the 60s, did something like this too. You remember that? Remember his speech where he said, we're going to put a man on the moon in the next decade? Remember that? It's ridiculous. Did Kennedy have any idea how that was going to happen? No, he just knew it needed to happen. They didn't have the science worked out of it. They didn't have, but you know what? Because there was an audacious plan with a timeline on it, that's why there's a timeline on this, because there's a timeline on it, you got to get going. We're going to have to get busy. We're going to have to figure this out, and we're going to have to move quick. Do I have some inklings of ideas of what this might look? I do. But you know what I'm also ready for? It to look completely different than what I think. Because the thing that I learned as we were going through this whole process of looking at our mission, looking at our vision, looking at our growth marks, as we went through this whole process, when we started off, I had one idea of what it might look like. And by the time it was done, it was so much better than any idea I'd had because God worked through all of us. Family, I cannot emphasize how important it is that we grow. It is the first command that God gives after he creates humanity. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. This is before sin. I want you to think about that. This is before sin entered in. Even before there was sin, God said, multiply, and I want you to be a caretaker of this earth. And so when we look at our vision to amplify what Whole Life is doing, to go beyond these walls, maybe be going beyond state lines, and amplify this, we are being faithful to what God asked in the very beginning, to be fruitful and multiply. And in case you think, well, that's Old Testament, do you see the correlation between what Jesus does in the Old Testament and what he does just before he returns to heaven? Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority, govern, authority, in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples, be fruitful, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, these new disciples, to obey all the commands I have given you. You see the correlation? Do you see the mandate for the vision that we have in this church? And the good news, and be sure of this, you're not doing it on your own. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Family, we are in a very broken world. Hate is everywhere. I know that we like to think the people that we disagree with are the hateful ones, and sometimes they very much are. But I also think it's important we look into our own hearts for the hate that resides there as well. And family, I deeply believe that if the message that Whole Life has, if the values that we have go out, I believe it makes the world a better place. I believe it makes it a better place. This matters. So this will not be the last time you hear me talking about these things. You guys want to rethink how many apples I'm holding in my hand? What? One you see. Say again. One apple and five apple trees. I want to suggest to you that I'm holding an orchard. I want to suggest to you that I may be holding multiple orchards in this hand because, like Whole Life, we can keep it, we can eat it ourselves. It's delicious, it's healthy, it's good for us. We can throw the core in the trash and we've gained nutrition. We can eat another apple later, it's fine. Or we can eat the apple, we can take the seeds and we can plant them and they can create more apple trees that create more apple trees that create more apple trees. You following me? Anybody want an apple? Anybody want an orchard?
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening and have a great week.